to go higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, and I've got Dr. Mike McFarland, PhD. I always love it when I have a smart man in studio or on the phone. Thank you so much for coming in, Dr.
Thanks
Mike.
Thanks for having me.
Shut up. I love psychology, and I love what we're talking
about today. I'm not smart enough for you? Fine.
Well, you're smart, but you're radio.
I love it when
you're
a
radio
smart man is in the studio.
You know what? I just took a call a couple of minutes ago, and I said, I'm not an expert in anything. You know, I'm terrible at techie stuff. And so I told the guy, I said, listen, I'm talented, just not in that field. You know, and that's the way everybody is. It's what you're passionate about.
That's
so
right.
What are you passionate about, Danny? I got this a cat. What's that expression?
Sleep.
Cat got your tongue? You're sleep deficient?
I am. Of course, I am always sleep.
Well, why?
Not sleep
may
efficient.
May I ask?
You know, I seriously think it's all the years of doing morning drive radio.
Yeah, you have to
all those years. I think we're talking 20 plus years of waking up at 2 in the morning to do morning news.
I would absolutely agree.
So that's what it was.
Well, your brain's hardwired for that. Your circadian rhythm is completely messed up.
Because I still wake
only
up.
Only you can change it, though, Danny.
Yeah. No, I still wake up at 2-3 o'clock every morning.
Wow.
Every morning.
Wow. I know. Well, you know, it's so important. You guys laughed at me. You guys laughed at me about the sun gazing, but I'm telling you, it works because you reset your circadian rhythm. You do. You get up in the morning when the sun is at the early, you know, right when it's at daybreak.
Yeah, you burn your pupils
out. No, you don't, because the sun isn't that bright yet. But you sit there and you absorb the rays, and you don't
stare at the sun and burn your eyes out.
No, it's not the you got.
That's not right.
You got to read about it. You got to read about it.
Mom always told me not to stare.
You got to stare at the right time. And so then you do it in the evenings,
but, you know,
too.
Mama, that's where the fun
is. It forces this balance in your life with the earth. I'm telling you, everyone out there listening, it works. It really, really does. It would behoove you to Google it and find out more about it, because we are connected with the earth. We are part of the earth. We're the blue dot, you know, that's going to evaporate if we don't start taking care of the earth. Speaking of, Earth Day's coming up in a couple of weeks. And I've been a crazy recycler for many, many years. Like, I recycle everything. It's not uncommon for me to be driving around with recycling from, like, if I'm leaving a restaurant, I won't just throw it in the trash. I'm like, I'll empty the little bit of ice, water, whatever, and then put it in a little bag in my car and take my recycling home. I take it very seriously.
Okay, this is where my ignorance does come in. So, yeah, I'm not that stupid, or I'm not that smart. But I still don't know what goes in the recycling bin and what doesn't.
Well, you know what? I actually,
I
it's
don't.
Funny you should say that.
You know, they always have two, you know, yep. One's for garbage and one's for recycling. Yep. I have no clue.
Well, we all
sometimes
need...
I second guess myself.
What is it? Yeah. And I look in there and it's like, well, no, there's garbage in there. And I, mm-hmm. you know,
and I think
is
it also
plastic?
Depends on where you live too.
Right.
You know, some regions allow more things to be recycled.
Well, and some people, and it's very difficult, but we really do need to get better organized as a world, not just as a country. And figure this out, because we are creating a mess that we are never going to be able to clean up if it continues. I mean, some people say it's already out of control.
But I am asking. That's a question. When you go to a public place, if you go to a Ranger game, go to a baseball game. I went to a hockey game this weekend, and I was like going, what the? Okay, they have two. Is it plastic? Is it styrofoam cups? Is it, you know, what goes into the recycling bin and what goes into the regular garbage?
Well, my little niece posted something.
I'm asking.
I'm going to let you. I don't know.
I don't care about your story. I want to know now.
If you would listen, I would tell you. I'm not, I don't know every single detail. All I know is I recycle and I put it in my bins, and I'm religious about it. I really, really am. I always have been. And even recycling clothes or the furniture in my home is furniture that I pulled out of a warehouse and had it redone. You know, I love doing it. It makes me feel really good.
I Googled it.
Okay.
So
what I was going to say is I put a Facebook post yesterday that I shared it from my niece, and it explains all of it really, really well. So go to our Facebook page and check it out.
One Life Radio.
Because it is. Yes. Thank you. It's very important. And I picked up the latest edition of Modern Farmer last night. And
you still didn't answer my question.
I don't know. Do I look like the recycling doctor?
Well, we
don't know.
Okay,
I just told you that.
A couple of basics. We know that you can recycle paper.
Yes.
But if it's been, or cardboard, but if it's been contaminated, for example, by a lot of food grease, then you can't recycle it. We know that you can recycle many different
plastics.
See,
that's a perfect example is when you're at a restaurant or at a sporting event. So what
nacho cheese is on your paper plate.
Or what's, you know, you know, like a hot dog wrapper.
Well,
so
you know,
you can't really put that in the recycling bin?
No. Well, you can put it in the recycling bin. It just will end up not getting recycled.
Okay. Well, and I have to laugh. Whole Foods, who's supposed to be the leaders on this, are the worst violators. They have all their little bins. No one pays any attention to any of it. They just throw anything wherever they want to throw it. And it's disgusting. It really makes me mad. I just get burned every time I see it. I'm like, oh, people are just make me so mad to have no respect for the earth like that. I mean, we need to respect one another, and we need to respect the earth. If not for yourself, do it for your children. You know, why should, let's not leave a big mess for them.
I think it's kind of a progression. You know, back in the 70s, people would litter and didn't blink an eye. There were people in, I don't know if you remember, but the streets had garbage everywhere because it was just kind of considered not that big of a deal. We've made great progress. Oh, yeah, in terms of cleaning things up. There's not nearly the garbage that there was when we were kids, but I still think that people are...
What was that?
Oh, wow.
That was my fight. Sorry, I didn't mean to scare everyone. A bullet just went by.
I thought, is that a snake? Wow, that was something. Okay.
Oh, boy. A little bit of fun over here. Lexi shot a rubber band and it hit me. It scared the bejesus out of me. Okay, you heard it.
That was not
rehearsed.
So sorry.
Oh, my God. My nerves are so bad, too.
I scared myself.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. So what were we talking about before Lexi scared
Jesus
out of me?
We're talking about the littering and the crying Indian.
Oh, yeah.
I think
so the
public,
Indian's not crying anymore, huh?
Well,
we need to bring him back.
Crying, but I think we still have a long ways to go, and people are becoming more conscious about recycling, but I think people are just, over time, learning more about it. The public is not well educated, and I think that those bins right now, some people just use them as a catch-all for anything and everything.
I can't even look at it. It upsets me so much. It really does.
I will say this, though. Recently, I went from on a road trip from Seattle to here in Dallas, and I noticed the roadsides were really, really clean. And even the rest areas are really nice, really nice. But I think we've made big strides with that.
Yes.
With our public highways.
Yes.
Why did we have to get away with bottles? You remember when you used to bring your bottles back and get like a nickel for them and stuff?
Nickel,
I remember
sure,
my dad's grocery store, they would be stacked to the ceiling of all the returns. Mm-hmm. You know, why did we get away from that? Does anybody know?
Convenience, I bet.
Probably.
And money to store, everything.
Everything's about the darned money. It makes me sick.
Well, and I will say this, and I don't want to throw my parents under the bus, but we used to get bottles, right? But they never recycled them. They threw them in the trash.
Okay, so I'm just saying, this
is from the 70s.
That's from the 70s.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, it's just one of those things.
Oh, my God. We have so much work to do. I'm exhausted.
We do, but it's also important to look, you know, at context and see the improvements that have occurred over the years. And, you know, as much improvement as there still is to achieve, my gosh, if you think about the way things were 40 years ago, it's substantially better.
Yeah, I guess. I guess for them 40
rivers
years
were
ago.
Contaminated and people couldn't get in rivers.
Yeah.
You know, trash was floating down. I don't know all the rivers on
what
the East
worries
Coast, but...
me though is all of the herbicides, the pesticides, all the glyphosate in our water and our food. And I think that's really what is hurting this earth more than even not being, you know, maybe recycling as much as we need to be. It's contaminating and poisoning the earth and poisoning ourselves. You know, drinking all these bottles and plastic and
In water supplies in municipal areas, you can find traces of antidepressants in the water.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here's the thing. So, and this Dr. Jeremy Webster was the one that first brought this up like 5 years ago on the air. We were talking about styrofoam cups. Everyone out there, please, for the love of God, don't put hot liquid in styrofoam cups and drink it. It releases all those chemicals. It is so bad for you. And like you were saying, Lexi, you said every church That you've ever been to.
Churches are the worst.
Churches are the worst for having, they serve the coffee because it's cheap in the foam cups. Mm-hmm. It is so bad for you.
But you don't know what you don't know.
Well, yeah. Right. I mean, well, and even like the little green stick at Starbucks, mm-hmm. tell them you don't want it. Look at, and there's Danny drinking hot coffee out of a styrofoam cup.
And that can't be recycled.
And it can't be recycled. Right. It'll be,
that will be around in
2 million
years.
Danny is the problem.
Your parents taught you not to recycle by not recycling. See, it's a trickle down. It really is. Mm-hmm. And so us here and now need to make these changes. We need to really make these changes. Okay, everyone, we step down off the
We're box. Done.
We're done here. But we are not done with the show. We've got a great show coming up. Dr. Brad Dieter, who's a certified sports nutritionist from the ISSN and a research scientist, is going to be talking about applying science and evidence to dieting. Can't wait to talk about that because we know everybody's on a diet all the time. This whole world's crazy. And then helping children cope with disappointment. And we're going to be talking about that new Netflix show, 13 Reasons Why. I don't know. Dr. Mike McFarland, PhD, has a lot to say about it. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
You're telling lies. So don't you criticize. Yeah, I got you. I messed up and abused.
Hi, this is Bernadette, here to tell you about the world's most trusted hemp extract, Charlotte's Web, by the Stanley Brothers. Charlotte's Web hemp oil contains naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. This amazing product is hand-planted and grown using organic farming practices on Colorado family farms. CW has a variety of wellness applications and has achieved global recognition from media coverage of Little Charlotte's amazing success story. All I have to say is thank you, Charlotte's Web, for improving lives with natural Colorado wellness. Visit them at CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Today, we're here to tell you about the success of Squatty Potty. Consumers are experiencing the healthful benefits from having the correct posture when eliminating the toxic and harmful fecal waste from their bodies. Now, Squatty Potty has made it portable. Introducing Porta Squatty. Now you can experience the healthful benefits no matter where the road takes you. It easily folds up and fits into a discreet carrying bag the size of a book. Porta Squatty. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Amazon, or for an exclusive discount of 25% off your entire order, use code One Life at checkout at SquattyPotty.com.
Do you want to reverse the early signs of aging? Hi, this is Bernadette. Do what I do. Pixel Perfect is an aesthetic laser treatment that lifts away years from your face. It can help reverse the early signs of aging and helps counteract years of sun damage or acne scarring. It provides noticeable results. Imagine a dramatic new you. To learn more, go to LynnRobertsMD.com. That's L-Y-N-N-E, RobertsMD.com. Or call 469-232-9300. That's 469-232-9300. And tell them that Bernadette sent you. You want to go down in it? You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Dr. Mike McFarland in studio with me, a PhD, a licensed psychologist, and I've got Dr. Brad Dieter on the line. He's a certified sports nutritionist from the ISSN. That's the International Society of Sports Nutrition. He is a research scientist, nutrition coach, and aspiring Olympic weightlifter, and he also runs the blog Science Driven Nutrition. That's sciencedrivennutrition.com. Which strives to bridge the gap between science and the public to bring the best information in the industry. from Dr. Brett Dieter straight to you. So how are you doing today, Dr. Dieter?
I am doing great. How are you guys?
I'm good. I'm full of energy, which is surprising because I had one of the worst weekends of my life. But what? You can't keep a good woman down. So let's talk about this. So applying science and evidence to dieting. What is the science in dieting?
Well, one of the big problems that we see and kind of the reason we wrote this article is that a lot of times we view diets really out of context and really in isolation, right? So we read studies of, this diet compared to this diet, and this study showed X, and then everybody assumes this is the best one, and this is how everything works. And when in reality, the way we do science is highly contextual, right? So one of the big things that we do as scientists is we don't just go based on the results of one study, is we look at the accumulation of evidence to make decisions. So we don't just look at, this one study published in this one journal. We kind of look at, we go all the way down to the very, very basic science, and we look all the way at the other end of the science with the primary outcome studies,
mm-hmm.
And then kind of compile it all together into a framework of how we think about things.
Well, and speaking of how we think about things, do you want to get that?
Oh, no, that's okay. I'll just let it go.
I had to say that. It's funny. Made everybody laugh. Okay, but while you were sitting there talking, I was thinking this. We have actually turned the word diet into something that it doesn't really mean. A diet means what you eat, and we've turned it into this term that means diet means to lose weight. Correct?
Yes. Yep.
And so how do you think that happened? How did that happen?
A lot of it is just cultural, right, of how we have come into seeing a lot of these problems that are driven by the foods we eat, and that everything really, when we talk about the nutrition industry and the dieting industry, is everything is singularly focused on weight loss, and there's
right.
so many other aspects to it than just that, but that is what garners everybody's attention. If you look at every magazine, for example, I think every single men's health issue in the last 10 years has at the top the special six-pack edition.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yep, yep.
And everything is that's the singular focus. And everything is geared towards basically how do you construct your quote-unquote diet to eat less. And that's really where that idea comes from.
Well, I know that you're talking about that the science behind this is highly contextual, contextual. Okay, so I know there's three layers of evidence. So there's the observational, and then there's mechanistic. Okay, mechanistic,
yeah.
Observational, and then intervention. So let's talk about these three.
Yeah. So to boil that down in the most simple terms possible is observation is just you observe things that are related to each other, right? So an example would be if you took a whole bunch of people and you kind of examined what they ate and you said, okay, these people eat, a very, very high carbohydrate diet and they tend to be, more overweight than people who eat a low carbohydrate diet.
Mm-hmm.
So then that would lead you to an idea of, okay, maybe it's carbohydrate intake. That's the big thing when we talk about, gaining weight or being overweight. And that just basically is a starting point, right?
Right.
That doesn't really tell you how anything works. It's an interesting observation.
So then you get into the study of the mechanic. What's funny? I'm sitting here reading it. Had it nailed. Okay, so, but the mechanics behind all of this and that's the second part of the science, right?
Yeah. So that's the next step in the research, right? You have this idea, okay, well, I think carbohydrates by themselves might be fattening because of this observational data.
Mm-hmm.
But then you do experiments where you control things exactly and you go, okay, if I take people and I feed them a low carbohydrate diet versus a high carbohydrate diet, is the cellular machinery that actually causes obesity higher in people who consume high carbohydrate diets versus low carbohydrate diets? And you
mm-hmm.
would get an answer. And so then you would say, okay, if the observational data aligns and the mechanistic data aligns, well, then what happens when we actually do this in people? And that takes us to the intervention studies.
Okay. So what do the intervention studies look like?
So then what you do is you take a group of people, usually, a good mix of, overweight people, lean people, Caucasians, Hispanics, Blacks, across different socioeconomic statuses. You take a big mix of people, and you then just manipulate their diet, and you give them either, you know, like a high carbohydrate diet or a low carbohydrate diet, and you see which one is better for fat loss. And then you've kind of completed the arc of research. And then you can really decide, okay, here's what all of the cumulative evidence tells us about dieting with regards to these types of diets.
Well, you know, I'm looking, I mean, I have so many books from all the different authors and nutritionists and experts and doctors that we've had on the show over the years. And I looked at, I grabbed one that was by Joel Fuhrman, The End of Dieting, How to Live for Life. And there's just so much rhetoric and just information out there about dieting. He says that the dangerous pseudoscience behind the latest diet fads, including why calorie restriction endangers your health and undermines your ability to lose weight long term, how to break free from food addiction, toxic hunger, and overeating. And I know that one of the most popular diets out there right now that you wanted to touch on, and you know, I don't follow the ketogenic diet religiously. However, I do believe in some of the fundamental principles and some of the foods and the ketogenic diet being rich in healthy fats and MCT oils and all these things that are so good for the body and the brain. So let's talk about it for a second. What is it about the ketogenic diet?
Well, it's one of those things that it has a fancy word, and it is one of those things that kind of uses a really interesting hack of human physiology. And so people were like, wow, this is so cool. It's probably going to be better for fat loss because it changes your body's metabolism. And I think that's why it became so popular, is it was kind of a new tool that most people hadn't used, and it has a very fancy sounding word and has some really interesting science behind it. So it took a lot of root in the dieting culture.
Well, yeah, and I think about, metabolic disease being perhaps the cause of cancer, and guys like Dom DiAgostino and all of these great doctors trying to, make discoveries, these scientists like yourself in laboratories all over the world trying to figure all these things out. I think of Hippocrates, let medicine be thy food, food be thy medicine. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is a direct relationship to disease based on your diet, and you can, they say that I actually know a girl, a Meredith Fox, she's been on the show before, that the ketogenic diet stopped her epilepsy, at least short term. And diseases like that, they've known some of this information for 100 years. And so why do you think it's not more mainstream?
Well, I think there's some cultural reasons, but there's also some real practical reasons, right? I mean, we know dieting cycles come in and out, right? The ketogenic diet was actually popular several decades ago, as it was just known under a different name, right? It was the Atkins diet. And now somebody's kind of repurposed it, made it even more extreme low carbohydrate, and it's kind of going through its cycle. It's just like clothing fads, right? I mean, bell-bottom jeans went through several cycles. So it's very similar.
Now, I think they're back.
Yeah. The other aspect is, different aspects of diets are very, very helpful in certain situations. So, perfect example is ketogenic diets and intractable epilepsy in young kids especially, right? Things we don't have any sort of root cause, but it gives therapeutic benefit. But when you actually look at something as extreme or as, focused as a ketogenic diet, for the big problems our society faces essentially of, overconsumption and under movement, is it doesn't convey any magical properties. So that's why it's one of those diets that will always come into fad and go out of fad, because its staying power isn't in the results it has, right? Its staying power is in, you can create a movement around it.
Well, let me ask you this, because I'm sitting here, my mind is racing as I'm talking with you and listening. But the, calories in, calories out, and all of that, calories out. And so calories in, calories out, you get weight gain. Calories in, calories out, weight loss. And calories in, calories out, weight maintenance. So what do you say to that? Because, and I've never asked this question. Is there a calculation for how many calories you can have on the ketogenic diet, or is it just eating high, keeping it within that high fat? For people listening that don't know, the 80% fat, 15% protein, and 5% carbohydrate. Is it just simply maintaining that, and the total amount of calories per day doesn't matter?
So there's kind of two aspects to this question. The first answer is yes. Really, what we know is, we talk about just weight regulation, is calories are almost everything. But the nuance in the second piece is, you know, you have to remember that somebody who is, you know, eating 5,000 calories a day and expending 5,000 calories a day is going to have very different adaptations than somebody who's eating 1,500 calories a day and expending 1,500 calories a day. Because the work that your body is doing while you're expending 5,000 calories a day sends very different hormonal signals, muscle building signals, bone building signals, metabolism changing signals, cardiovascular adaptations. All of those things change your physiology over a long period of time. So when we talk about weight regulation, absolutely. We know that calorie balance is the single thing that most dictates your weight.
All right.
You have to remember is there's adaptations that are actually more important.
Well, yes, and there's lots more to talk about. So I look forward to continuing with you next week, Dr. Brad Dieter. Thank you so much.
All right, take care.
All right, everyone. You can find Dr. Dieter at sciencedrivennutrition.com. You're listening to One Life Radio. Yeah.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like Blueberry Blast, Coconut Cashew, Cinnamon Roll, and Salted Caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
We all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates Crazy Water from the rest. Crazy Water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, and I've got Dr. Mike McFarland in studio. He is a PhD, he's a licensed psychologist in the state of Texas with a private practice here in Dallas. Dr. Mike provides individual therapy to adolescents through adulthood. He specializes in the treatment of anxiety disorders, obsessive compulsive disorders, which is OCD, and male body image and eating disorders. Love this man. He's been on the show. You've been on the show now for a while, like 3 years, something like that.
Quite a while. I'm not sure how long.
Just love having you in studio. You can find Dr. Mike at oneliferadio.com or at mcfarlandpsychology.com. And so today we're talking about helping children cope with disappointment. This is a really important subject because so many children do. And so what can we do? You know, as parents, you know, we work hard to provide our children's needs, protecting them from life's adversities, you know, and that's a good thing. But are we doing too much as parents, do you think?
Well, I know that it's possible for you to overparent. Not everyone is, but there's certainly a tendency in our society today to really protect our children. We want to do everything that we can for them. And we've sort of created this bubble-wrapped child phenomenon where mm-hmm. our child is so shielded from any bump or challenge or adversity in life that when they move towards adulthood, they're not equipped in ways that generations in the past have been equipped to face off with the world.
And I apologize for interrupting. No. I'm just so passionate about this. I really think that children are forced to grow up way too soon in today's society.
In certain ways, absolutely. So, you know,
sexually, for sure. It's terrible.
Children are being sexualized at a very early age, you know, pre-adolescent age. They're being exposed to concepts and behaviors that they're really not emotionally or developmentally prepared to deal with. And then in other ways, they're not learning basic skills like how to appropriately greet someone or, you know, how to go shopping and pay at the counter. You know, some things that we would take for granted, everyday activities of daily living that we take for granted, children are not being taught now. So they might
know. Well, because there's so much crime out there. I mean, I had an incident myself personally a couple of weeks ago, and my daughter wanted to walk a couple of blocks to a friend's house from a restaurant, and there was a couple of kids with her. I'm like, absolutely not. It was within a mile of that girl being murdered just a year ago when she went to get a film at a CVS, I believe it was, over near Casa Linda. And I'm like, there's no way. There are some very bad areas of town, like little pockets in between, and you just never know. I mean, right on the road, someone driving by seeing three girls walking or four little girls, and some of the mothers thought it was okay. I didn't. So, you know, I was the mother that didn't agree. But I still stick by what I believe, that this world has gotten way too crazy that a child that small cannot walk by themselves without an adult.
Right. And it's a tough call. And it really depends on, you know, the environment that they're living in. So some neighborhoods are safer than others. And yet, the messages that we get through the media and in our culture is that essentially no neighborhood is safe. And many people are living in safe neighborhoods and could allow their children to walk around and get around like we did 40 years ago.
When I was a kid, I would leave my house. My cousins, we all, it was like a small town in upstate New York. Yes. But, you know, I mean, I'd be gone the whole day. Going all over town, you know, walking to my dad's grocery store or walking downtown, just, you know, and you didn't have to worry about it.
That's right. And now we have technology which allows parents to track their kids in ways that they couldn't have tracked them 30, 40 years ago. For example, you know, the Find My Friend technology that's on telephones, and they can actually see where their child is based on their phone. And for parents who might be a little bit over-involved or overprotective, that may not be such a good thing. You know, because if your child happens to cross the street because there's, you know, maybe they've got a sale at a store across the street, but that wasn't something that they agreed to. They said they were going to Taco Bell.
That happened to me too at North Park Mall. Said they were going someplace and the two of them went someplace else. So you have to be so vigilant.
Right. But the flip side of that is, you might have done the very same thing as a child and would have thought nothing of it as a child because you knew your parent wasn't tracking you and nothing bad happened.
Right.
And the parent was sort of just fine not even knowing that. But now, because they can know those things, they want to know those things. And because they want to know those things, they try to control those behaviors in their children. And when the parent is controlling so much behavior in their child doesn't learn to make appropriate and responsible choices.
I agree. And I hover on some things, but not many. Safety is number one. You know, I'm really big on safety. It's important. You know, there's a lot of creepy people walking around.
Absolutely.
You know, Marie and I went to the Deep Ellum Arts Festival Friday night, early before the sun went down, just to grab something to eat and talk, you know, a little bit of business while we were walking around, you know, checking stuff out. And right out of the gate, I'm like freaked out. There was this guy that was completely covered in black, like a sheath, like a complete a black curtain over his whole body, everything, his eyes, and he had sunglasses on, and he was on his phone, and he had like a briefcase beside him. He was creeping me out. And you go from that couple, literally like just a couple feet down, then there's a mentally ill guy twirling and talking to himself who's completely disheveled, really, really sad, obviously on the street, and then some more, you know, people that were homeless, and it's just like, oh my gosh. And my daughter wasn't with me, but she went the next day with her dad. And I told her, be careful. There's so many people. Just be careful. Stick close to your father. Don't get away from him for a second. There's just so many people down there. I just worry about, you know, who's out there and how they could harm my child.
Right. And certain areas are going to be riskier than others. So, you know, if you go into an urban area, that's where you're more apt to find some of the homeless people, mentally disabled, things like that.
Yeah. So sad. And so much sadness.
Sure. But not all areas are created equal. So some places are going to be much safer. Mm-hmm. And if they want to ride their bike up to the 7-Eleven and get something, that might be perfectly fine in one area of town and actually quite dangerous in another area.
Well, and you know, Lexi, you'll appreciate this. We found a dog. Lexi found a dog. It's been about a year now. And I was walking down the street and I was thinking about Nelson and whether or not he had walked down that same street.
I miss him.
You know, I'm still heartbroken over that dog. It was a pit bull that Lexi found on the street that was starving to death and scared out of its mind. She was kind enough to capture it. We took it to my veterinarian. We tried for 6 months to rehabilitate this dog. I finally brought it home. It lunged at a child not once but twice. And so I felt like I had to put it down.
Yeah.
I really did, because at that point, you know, there's just a lot of bad stuff that could happen, but I'm still heartbroken about it. And I don't know what the answers are. But you know, the world can be really scary. And so helping children cope with these things and disappointment,
helping them to make the right decision.
We're going to continue talking about this. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
Did you know that hemp has been used for a variety of wellness needs for thousands of years? And now, thanks to the Stanley Brothers in Colorado, you can now get Charlotte's Web, the most trusted whole plant hemp extract in the world. Charlotte's Web is a proprietary whole plant hemp extract that contains all of the beneficial and naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. In fact, in 2003, the federal government recognized the beneficial effects on human health and obtained a U.S. patent titled Cannabinoids and Antioxidants. For more information and to get educated about Charlotte's Web, visit CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Are you tired of ho-hum parties? Do people yawn in your backyard? Need to draw attention to your business or set the mood at your restaurant? Lights aren't just for Christmas. They make all your outdoor spaces and celebrations sparkle. Our customers have found the perfect lights to add twinkle to their special occasions for over 10 years. See everything you'll need to light up your life at Christmas Light Source. You can find us at ChristmasLightSource.com. That's ChristmasLightSource.com.
Chanclaitas Beach Resort in beautiful Nicaragua is the perfect spot for a yoga, fitness, and adventure camp. Sunny, warm beaches surrounded by lush coconut trees. What better setting is there to get healthy, relax, and find your inner peace? When you join this yoga retreat, you also enjoy fresh, tropical, and plant-based meals with local Nicaraguan superfoods and Sun Warriors all-natural organic protein to nourish body and mind as you take advantage of the stunning environment, daily yoga, meditation, and exciting fitness excursions. This special event, May 6th through the 13th, set in the midst of a tropical paradise with authentic Nicaraguan flair, will fill up fast. Act now before it sells out. Learn more at sunwarrior.com or gracevanburkham.com.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life.
That makes me want to go karaoke. I was singing it, Danny. I was feeling it. Danny Miles. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Lexi Brinkley, Danny Miles, and we have Dr. Mike McFarlane in studio with us. He's a PhD who specializes in the treatment of anxiety disorders, obsessive compulsive spectrum disorders, and male body image and eating disorders. You can find Dr. Mike at McFarlanePsychology.com, and you can find all of our experts at OneLifeRadio.com. Love this guy. So smart. So smart. I guess that's why you're a PhD, right?
Well, it was a lot of school.
Yeah, a lot of schooling. And I appreciate the education and you being kind and gracious enough to come in studio and share it with all of our listeners.
I always enjoy coming here.
Yeah, because the children, I mean, they're the future of our world.
Yep.
I mean, they are. And we want to keep them out of harm's way. And
that's
we want
right.
to do the best that we can. I know I do as a mother. You know, I aspire to be the best mom I can be. And I fail sometimes. Everyone does. And so I think it's important to talk about this, communicating with children and helping them cope with disappointment, because we all have disappointment and it's not stopping in childhood. It will continue through your whole adulthood.
That's
so
right.
The sooner you learn to deal with it, the better, right?
That's absolutely right.
So
yeah.
What do you want parents to know first and foremost about this?
Well, you know, one thing that's really important to keep in mind is that our way that we approach our children and how much we do to protect them shifts over time. So a younger child needs lots of protection. We need to be very careful.
Lots of affection, lots of love, lots of
absolutely.
Holding, you know?
Yes. But in terms of keeping them safe, parents must be much more conscientious at earlier ages. And then as they get older, pre-adolescence and adolescence, we should see a steady progression from really protecting and directing their behavior and being more controlling of it to being more freeing and acting more as sort of a guide,
right.
Where we help discuss with them the pros and cons of certain decisions or certain choices so that they can learn how to reason their way into coming up with the right answers.
Well, and that goes starting from learning to walk. You're going to fall.
Absolutely.
When you're learning something,
mm-hmm.
you're going to stumble.
Mm-hmm. Right. And there, you know, fewer people learning how to ride bikes these days. And, you know, you got to wonder, is it because the parents don't want them to have those first few falls, you know, before they get comfortable riding the bike?
I think it's because so many, and I know this is no excuse, but there really is a direct relationship. So many marriages fall apart in such early stages. I mean, children are so displaced now by divorce and the breakdown of the whole family unit. They
yeah.
really are. No one likes to talk about it, but mm-hmm. it is a fact. It's
mm-hmm.
true.
Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely think that there's an impact to children from, you know, growing up in split families. And much of that is related to how the parents handle the breakup. So we find some very well-adjusted children if the parents can maintain an amicable relationship and both support each other in terms of the parenting of the children versus a very acrimonious relationship, which tends to create ongoing distress
mm-hmm.
and oftentimes, you know, can create a feeling of cynicism in the children about, you know, the true benefits of marriage and long-term relationships.
Right. If you're going to divorce, you don't have to destroy the other person.
That's right.
And it's wrong to do that. And it's
absolutely
wrong for the
right.
children. And they mm-hmm. witness and see all of it.
And when a child is forced to take sides
right.
or they've got both parents lobbying against the other,
mm-hmm.
it puts them in a very difficult position and causes them to, you
a
know,
a lot
sort
of distress.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them never get the therapy that they need to deal with it. And that just creates more problems that they carry on to the next generation.
Right, it goes on to the next
it's
generation.
It's generational sometimes.
Yes, it
really, really is.
Yep.
So what else do you want people to know and how they can improve their children's ability to cope with disappointment and failure?
Well, so and we'll talk more about adolescents and even college age students now. When they get to that age, that you need to be allowing your children to sort of experience some negative outcomes, maybe even make some poor decisions. And as long as the consequences aren't huge, we allow them to make those decisions and then learn from those mistakes. So, for example, it's one thing to be bringing your child's homework up to school when they're in fourth or fifth grade, if you're doing something like that, or they forgot a packed lunch. It's another thing when they're a senior in high school, if they've forgotten their lunch or they haven't brought their assignments. And so allowing the child to not be bailed out by the parent
mm-hmm.
and then have the parent and have the child experience a lower grade.
Well, and one of the big pieces of that is accountability.
Sure.
And responsibility for making a mistake and owning it, which if you don't allow a child to do that, then they'll be in denial their whole life every time they screw up.
That's right. Exactly. And if they have always got their parents to sort of run interference for them
right.
in the situation, we end up in a situation where we are now, which is in colleges now. We've got frequently parents calling to try to negotiate grades for their children.
That is unbelievable to me. I can't even imagine being that parent.
Yeah, it's really challenging. It's in a challenging environment for administrators now in colleges because parents are so integrally involved.
That's entitlement, in my opinion. That's the parent.
It creates entitlement
yes,
in the
that's,
children.
That's pure entitlement, thinking that they deserve that somehow.
Yes, I read an interesting article about the increase in parents who want to be involved in their children's interviews for jobs as seniors in college, and they will actually
wow.
go to the university and sit with the child as they're waiting to be interviewed.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just a very, very different environment. The predicament then is that you know, if your child doesn't learn how to negotiate salaries and things like that, then they're, again, ill-equipped to be adults in today's mm-hmm. society.
Well, you know, I'm thinking with Lexi sitting next to me, a beautiful young woman, 24 years old. I don't know what your parents did, but they raised a really good girl. She's just amazing. She really is.
They were
and,
awesome.
She's like she's already 40 in her thinking and her mentality and her mm-hmm. life experience. Pretty remarkable because you can raise children like that if you're mindful.
Yes.
Of what you're doing.
And you're developing those critical thinking skills and ability to make reasoned, logical decisions about the direction of their life. You know, I work with young adults, and by young adults, I'll say in their mid-20s, and they will describe themselves as boys or girls as opposed to men and women or girls and guys, you know, and they don't consider themselves oftentimes adults. Well, you know, 30 years ago, you were an adult when you were 21. And
mm-hmm.
now I think you would be hard put to find people in their 20s that would actually claim to be an adult. And that is because really they're getting messages from their parents and from society that their youth, basically up until age 30, is a time of experimentation and mistakes, and their parents are there to sort of bail them out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and as a result, they view themselves as not adults.
Yeah. Well, when you hover too much, you cripple your child.
Yes.
They can't
mm-hmm.
make decisions on
right.
their own. You absolutely mm-hmm. cripple their mind, their ability, you instill fear in them because they feel like
yes.
they can't handle anything.
Right, right. And they think that they are not in a position to, for example, negotiate a salary.
Right.
Their parents must step in and do
those
kinds
of things. I can't even
imagine.
And I'm like the polar opposite when it comes to stuff like that.
But, and
because that's how my parents...
you were raised.
Absolutely. It was, you know, I grew up in an Irish-Italian family. And my mm-hmm. mother was a professional. My father was an entrepreneur. And there were just certain things that you knew. You know, you do something wrong, you're responsible for it.
Mm-hmm.
They put a lot of tools in my toolbox.
Well, and which is wonderful. And so the three characteristics we really tell parents as their children are maturing is... you know, we have a natural instinct to protect our children, so we tend to step forward and jump into the situation. Try to step back, and instead of jumping in and taking an active or directive role, instead provide guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage your child to have critical thinking, consider the pros and cons, and be able to come up with a good solution.
Mm-hmm.
You might lob in some suggestions. You might throw out, well, you could consider this or consider that, but ultimately allow them to make those choices.
And conquer it.
Exactly, and conquer it. And if that choice that they made was not ideal, well, they can go back and try it again, you know, but they can make those first mistakes. And then, you know, as we were raised, if at first you don't succeed, try again.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to instill that in our children.
Someone bops you down, you pop back up.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I love it. You were talking during the break about, you know, we're talking about the dangers out on the street,
mm-hmm.
and you made a comment about the phone. Would you share it with our listeners?
Sure. You know, many parents right now are very afraid about the physical dangers when their children leave the house. And so they're worried about, you know, unsafe people on the streets or, you know, potential assaults in parking lots or,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
things like that. When in fact, you know, we don't realize that we're letting dangerous people into our home, oftentimes through our children's use of smartphones and chat rooms. And many of the people that if they ring our doorbell, we wouldn't let into the house because we know they wouldn't be safe. They can come in easily into our child's bedroom through the telephone and a clever avatar. And next thing you know, they're talking to our children and possibly influencing them.
Wow. Dr. Mike, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. Everyone, you know what? Be vigilant about that. I know I am. That's one place where I do hover. So everyone, you know what? Let me give a shout out to our sponsors because they brought this to you. Squatty Potty, Sun Warrior, Charlotte's Web, the ISSN. Who am I forgetting, Lexi? I'm always forgetting someone. Crazy Water. There you go. Crazy Water. I got my bottle right here. Number two, I'm going to drink it in the next hour or so. You know why? Because you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.